The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
You're listening to the High Spot Podcast on the G-Pops Podcast Network. I am Jeff Martin, alongside my tag team partner, Brian Berga. The trendsetter is back here after his assignment at Atlantic City at Boardwalk Beatdown, scoping out the scene, I would say. Trendsetter, what's going on, my man?
What is going on is that I am alive and I am still here, Jeff. But exciting. Good to be back on the show with you again. Last week, of course, I was MIA, but again, no better time to come back now. Of course, you previewed SummerSlam, but now we're past SummerSlam. What an incredible weekend that was.
Yeah, but also take over
SummerSlam itself, what happened on Raw, currently on SmackDown as well. And not just to mention that, we're building up towards Boardwalk Beatdown in Atlantic City. And believe it or not, we're going to be in Chicago, Illinois. It's getting closer and closer for All In, one of the historic events in the world of professional wrestling as well. So I'm excited for it, dude.
Man, there is no sleep.
How I'm going to last, I have no idea, but I'm excited for it.
No sleep in the future of the trendsetter and I, man. And how'd I do? How do you think I did last week as far as, you know, trying to do this solo?
You did a really good job, man. I mean, you talked about how me and Brian Fritz did a great job, and you were kind of worried. I mean, dude, you got chops. You can talk.
Jim was great.
Especially the fact that Mike Francesa has been your idol for so many years. You've definitely had those ability to, you know, and it's not easy, guys, when you're doing it by yourself, when you have nobody to kind of bounce ideas off of. You're really kind of just basically talking and nonstop. It was a nice flow to it.
I felt like I was talking to the High Spot Podcast universe.
Or the crew, basically.
Well, the crew.
We're not the WWE here. It's the crew.
But an amazing weekend of wrestling, man. Where do you start? We got a great show for you today, folks. We know we're going to start off interview-wise. We've got WWE Hall of Famer Jeff Jarrett on the show. We're in the home stretch for All In. We want to talk a little bit about StarCast and, of course, Podcast Row. We want to talk about, of course, him being in the WWE Hall of Fame this past WrestleMania weekend in New Orleans. We want to get his reactions. It's good talk with Double J, with Jeff Jarrett.
It's amazing. I mean, I think the guests obviously always get bigger and bigger for events like we're approaching now for All In and StarCast and Podcast Row that we're going to be a part of. So just very thankful for Jeff Jarrett taking a few minutes out of his time. I mean, look at the crazy schedule he's had ever since he finished the Hall of Fame and the emotion behind that. And now he's busy. He's doing a whole bunch of stuff too, which is a great thing for him to take a few minutes from his day out of his schedule to come talk to us a little bit about such an historic event, which will be in Chicago, Illinois. It says something about the man, Jeff Jarrett himself.
Yeah, we got that to get to shortly. We're going to get you Jeff Jarrett on because you definitely can't miss this interview here with Jeff Jarrett. So looking forward to that. But, you know, we were going to start with SummerSlam. We're going to recap that, and TakeOver was amazing. We'll discuss which show was better. But you got to start with The Shield reuniting on Monday Night Raw in Brooklyn. So many aspects to that. So much psychology, I believe, in that. Just to get Roman Reigns to be cheered. There's also another situation where Constable Corbin is now the new Raw General Manager, and Kurt Angle is going to take leave of absence as ordered by Stephanie McMahon. So there's so much going on. This was a turning point this past weekend, SummerSlam and Monday Night Raw, and of course all the actions from SmackDown Live as well. But, the whole reuniting of the Shield, trendsetter, I got to ask you, do you think, you know, it was to get a pop out of the crowd, or do you think it was, to just turn the tide so that the crowd would boo Roman Reigns less?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, initially when SummerSlam was over, I was thinking we're going to have the situation now. We're going to get a few call-ups from NXT. That didn't happen on Raw, but we were surprised by the return of the Shield, like you said. I don't know if it's strategically done. The way I interpreted it, the moment I saw it and it was happening, was first and foremost a very shocking, wow, you weren't expecting that moment. So I give kudos to the WWE writing staff and creative for coming up with something like that, because I don't think anybody expected that to happen. And so for that to happen for them to reunite against Braun Strowman, who again is another over babyface too, and you know the crowd obviously is not on the side of Roman Reigns after he defeated Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Yes, I see the fact of your point and what people have been mentioning to me. Oh, it's a way now to cheer Roman Reigns, but also it's kind of a way now of it paints a different light. Now, does Roman Reigns need the help of the Shield to protect him from Braun Strowman, to protect him from being cashed in at any particular time. That's kind of the way I saw it right now. And it kind of came off to me, although there were cheers on the crowd for the reuniting of the Shield, to me it was more of like, oh, this is more of the heelish type of, you know,
did
side
you see
that we
Roman
saw in the Shield.
Face
exactly.
When he saw that his brothers were on the outside of the ring, he kind of gave that look like, and now
little,
what?
Yeah, a little
know?
Cocky look like, come on now, let's see what
I don't
you
mind.
Got.
I like it. If you're going to play that shade of gray, that's fine with me, you know, but if you're going to shove him down his throat with those, you know, one-liners that, you know, don't make sense and that are like, oh, man, you can tell they're scripted. If you're going to do this, this is a way to get him over, because when you put him with the Shield, that's when he's going to get cheered the most.
Yes, of course. And I think that was the strategy behind it. But did it come off as if, you know, he's the babyface? No, it looked more of the heelish tactic of the Shield. And now they're here in terms of all three of them are protecting the Universal title from going to anybody else. So it'll be interesting as now SummerSlam's over and they're starting approaching now towards the fall season of what direction they plan on going. But yes, you're right. If they're doing this more to protect Roman Reigns so we don't hear those boos, because he's tried several times of being an individual star as a champion and hasn't really worked itself out. Not saying he hasn't worked hard, not saying he hasn't had good performances with the talent he's worked with in the ring, but he hasn't carried over as a champion that people just don't want to see because, like you said, either they're upset it's the cool thing to do to boo him, or they're upset that Roman Reigns has the machine behind him and they're being shoved down our throat. All that stuff together, when he's with the Shield, he's a better way of being protected in terms that he won't get that reaction initially, or it won't be as loud if he was by himself.
And now you've got the whole situation now where Stephanie McMahon now kind of gets rid of Kurt Angle, and in comes Constable Corbin, which, I don't know, I'm not a huge fan of, but now here's another example of where everyone hates Constable Corbin, Baron Corbin. Mm-hmm. Everyone doesn't like him. Now, if he becomes the antagonist to Roman Reigns and starts, you know, kind of intervening and kind of like, you know, putting Roman Reigns in unenviable positions, maybe now that draws more heat on him and makes Roman Reigns more sympathetic as a figure.
Well, I don't know if Baron Corbin needs any more heat because people just don't like him in general. I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but in terms of how he portrays and carries himself on TV, you just don't like the guy. You know, you can remake him, you can redo him with a different look. It's just nobody's interested. I feel nobody's invested. But you're right. To see him in this different light now as active general manager, you know, Kurt Angle taking a leave of absence, it also puts another light on somebody else, Stephanie McMahon, because now she came back to TV, and it looks like she's renewing that rivalry, or at least giving hints of that rivalry she had initially after WrestleMania with Ronda Rousey. And it goes back to the whole adage, is this more of a new version of Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Vince McMahon, but now it's Stephanie and Ronda Rousey? As for Baron Corbin, I could see him being that foil with Roman Reigns, but again, I still have to see what's going on with the Shield. Are they baby faces? Are they going to be that shade of gray that we don't know? That's going to be interesting to see how it goes and progresses from there, but you're right, different dynamics here that we never expected to see, especially post-SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta tell you, there are so many things that happened at SummerSlam leading into, of course, Raw and SmackDown, where you're thinking, well, okay, this is kind of makes me want to watch the next Monday night, because you're intrigued of what happens with the Shield and Roman Reigns, I'm intrigued of what happens with Daniel Bryan and The Miz. The Miz kind of retired from facing Daniel Bryan. You kind of wonder it's leading to that direction of maybe getting a mixed tag team match between, you know, Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan against maybe Maurice and The Miz. You kind of, you know, have that idea that might happen. You don't know, but you kind of get in that idea, especially when Brie Bella interjects herself at SummerSlam. But, so much to talk about. But really quick, before we get to Jeff Jarrett, the main event, and we'll do that, and then we'll dissect the rest of SummerSlam afterwards too. And of course, we are, we are Boardwalk Beatdown. We are like right there. It's going to happen, you know, this Friday, and of course, Saturday with the big Boardwalk Beatdown convention. And of course, at night you've got Standalone Wrestling Breakout. So much going on. We are like hours away. So looking forward to that, Trendsetter. But the Roman Reigns match with Brock Lesnar. I didn't get hyped up until I saw the pre-show and I saw Paul Heyman, because Paul Heyman could sell me magic beans. And so that lead-up was amazing. And it made me think of not seeing them fight, but the outcome and the result. Because there's so much speculation about Brock in the UFC. There's Roman Reigns. Again, are they going to give it to him? Is it better if you have Brock a double champion if you were to beat Daniel Cormier. And at the end of the day, Chancellor, I told you that, you know, Vince McMahon isn't about what ifs. It's about the now. And I think he wanted to put that title on Roman Reigns. And I think he did a good job because the way they played the crowd, I think really, to me, kind of worked the crowd, I think, with the with bringing in Braun Strowman.
Well, first of all, the way you talk about how I told you, Jeff, even before last week when you were talking about... I'm going to call you out on it because I'll call a spade here. Because when you were previewing it last week and then we talked about the build-up towards SummerSlam, you more than anyone was like, oh, I don't know. And so it's easy, hindsight's 20/20 now the event's over, that yes, the direction was the way they wanted to go with Vince McMahon. Going on what he knew was going to happen and what was more convenient for him in terms of business and made more sense business-wise is to keep or to make Roman Reigns champion, not risk Brock Lesnar taking the belt over the UFC, being beaten by Daniel Cormier and embarrassing himself, and then, you know, what does that make the Universal title? So you weren't 100% accurate on that, but you were right because you did speculate that, but again, you weren't 100% confident in it. I thoroughly believe Brock Lesnar was going to retain it, but ultimately in the end, you're right. The crowd was played a little bit here. But, again, I'm not one of those people that is upset with the end result. I kind of felt they were building up towards that. I mean, I was more prepared for this than I was, like, for WrestleMania in New Orleans. Because the way it was built up for WrestleMania is that Roman Reigns is going to defeat Brock Lesnar and become the champion. This one here, as good as Paul Heyman was building it up and getting us psyched up for it, it was leading towards this. So I'm not upset by the end result, Jeff. What I'm more... I wouldn't even say disappointed. Where I'm more just, I kind of just shake my head is the way it was done. Throwing the element of surprise like Braun Strowman, thinking that once this match is over, the Braun was going to cash in. Crowd's excited because you know what? In their minds, it was going to be worth it. Because even if Roman Reigns beats Brock Lesnar, the crowd, as excited as they were, and you saw how hot they were, and Braun Strowman came out there and said he was going to challenge the winner of this match immediately after the match was over, people were excited because they wanted the belt, they wanted the strap, or they wanted Braun Strowman feeling, you know, the crowd thinking he's ready. Maybe not yet, just yet, but thinking that he was going to be the next Universal Champion. So it would have saved the event. So the match itself was kind of a little bit all over the place. It wasn't very organized in the sense of psychology because it was more of just like it happened very fast. And the crowd, I kind of like myself, was left like, what? That's the way? This entire build-up.
Distracted by
this
Braun.
This entire build-up, and that's the way you end it?
Yeah.
We couldn't have a better ending. We couldn't have had, for example, Brock Lesnar dominating again, completely dominating. You think, all right, here we go. And then, boom, Roman Reigns hits the spear and beats him. Okay, I get that. Or Roman Reigns being dominant of Brock Lesnar and finally turning the table like what Goldberg did to Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series. But that result is what made me feel more irked or disappointed or whatever word you want to use because I'm like...
One spear?
After all this buildup, one spear, after 4 years of this storyline going on, one spear is going to defeat Brock Lesnar, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, then they give Brock the excuse that he was distracted by Braun Strowman so much that he took his eye off Roman Reigns. But that one spear kind of like, you know, if maybe Brock gets up after one, gets another, you know, two, mm-hmm. and Brock is pleading. I mean, not Brock, Paul's, you know, pleading, get up, Brock, get up. Exactly. And then he gets maybe a third one. You know, I think maybe that would have maybe, you know, capped the night off and be like, okay, I understand. You got to move the belt to... Roman Reigns.
Yeah. But, hit him with 17 spears. I don't care. The build-up for the fact that that was the end result was really disappointing. And then the next night on Raw when Paul Heyman wants to invoke that rematch clause and Kurt Angle. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Kurt Angle. I love it. But the character's like, you know what? He's not going to get a rematch anytime soon. At what point has it ever been a thing where the acting general manager can say, no, he cannot get a rematch? You're entitled to a rematch. Whenever you want to take it, and if you want to take it to Hell in a Cell, it should be allowed. Now, we know why it's not being allowed. I get it. But in terms of the storyline, in terms of, like, for example, we know why Brock Lesnar will not begin an immediate rematch. He's going to be training, getting ready for his fight with Daniel Cormier for the UFC heavyweight title. But, like, if you're just giving me an excuse because Brock Lesnar's a horrible champion, he's a part-timer, and I'm not going to give him an opportunity, then you're being spiteful, and you're basically just being vindictive of something you had no control over. And to me, that's just sad. It was just it's so embarrassing to see that storyline.
And I'm sorry, but how many times do they give a champion the automatic rematch the next night on Raw?
Exactly.
You know, just because you're being spoiled, you're not doing your job. You know, I think people...
Or how many times did they give Roman Reigns a title shot and he wasn't... Did he deserve it or not?
And no one mentioned that Brock was advertised for Brooklyn and didn't really... show up.
Yeah.
Maybe they already used that one appearance maybe the week before for the go-home. I don't know, but he was advertised to appear. But you know what? Can't complain. He got the Shield reunion. And then poor Finn. Now Finn can never say he never got his rematch
for the
Universal Championship because he got it in the place where he won it and the place he had to give it up. And it was a very entertaining matchup. But poor Finn Balor now a week, and the fans can never say, oh, man, Finn's not right, man.
He never got his rematch.
Because good old... awesome Roman Reigns gave him his rematch when no one did. No one in the back. No one did. Of course, that great, great leader, Roman Reigns, gave him that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And now, unfortunately for Finn Balor, you don't know what happens with him. He's got his whole demon story. But we're going to get into SummerSlam after our interview right now with Jeff Jarrett. Of course, the interview is brought to you by Collar and Elbow, folks. Summer is winding down, so you want to take advantage of their summer fashion line because you know what? We're just... it's sad to say that summer's almost over, so you want to take advantage of their amazing summer apparel. Just go to collarxelbowbrand.com and then save 10% by entering the promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST and save 10% off your entire online purchase. Again, enter HIGHSPOTPODCAST all in caps. Definitely want to take advantage of collarandelbowbrand.com. You know, they've been great to us here. And, of course, now they bring you this amazing interview that we had with WWE Hall of Famer Jeff Jarrett, who will be a part of StarCast, the meet and greet, so much to talk about. And now, without further ado, here is Jeff Jarrett on the High Spot Podcast. All right, Trendsetter, this is probably one of our biggest interviews to date. We are at the home stretch, kind of heading to All In and StarCast on Labor Day weekend. And I want to do it the right way, make this introduction. So I'm going to do it the way StarCast has it. Build, okay? He's one of a kind. He has a career that spanned every major promotion over the last 25 years. He's a promoter, booker, wrestler, former world champion. He's a guest superstar with the two R's at StarCast, and of course, he's a WWE Hall of Famer. He's Jeff Jarrett. He joins us on the High Spot Podcast. Jeff Jarrett, thank you so much for joining us. What's going on?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you having me on, and what a rousing introduction. And you did say that's StarCast with a double R, correct?
Yes, with a double R, and we're talking to Double J, J-E-double-F, J-A-double-R-E-double-T. Thank you so much for coming on. How's everything going, first and foremost?
Good, man. It's super busy. It is I'm happy, not complaining, but, man, it's been really, really busy over the last, now it stretches into a couple months, but pretty excited. We, like you said, we are definitely in the home stretch. Quite frankly, as you alluded to, I've been around the business a long time, 32 plus years now, but I have never seen, and I don't use never very often, although it's very, very almost hard to do it, you know, never done before type deal. But this, StarCast event wrapped around the All In, that's two events that are pretty groundbreaking in my opinion, just the magnitude and the reach. And, you know, the StarCast started off as just sort of an idea, a concept like All In was, and didn't, you know, Conrad, who's now become my partner on the StarCast on Fight side of things, he didn't expect much coming out of the gate, and sort of one thing led to another, and then the proverbial snowball just headed downhill. And, yeah, man, we're headed into the home stretch and all kind of promotions going on and ticket sales, and I've never seen such – gosh, it's almost collaboration. This guy says, hey, I ended up said I need five tickets. I need four tickets. So I have one ticket open, and they put that on Twitter or social media. It's sold. It's been an amazing experience thus far. And I'm pretty excited as we head into, the actual 4-day convention that's called StarCast.
You guys have created a buzz. So as quoting the Young Bucks, they've created a buzz in the business as far as independent wrestling. And, you know, looking back on stuff and just, like you said, it's a good kind of busy that you are because, you know, it's an amazing event. It's kind of like a Woodstock of wrestling that a lot of people compare it to. But when you look back at everything now and are you still in amazement that, first of all, the All-In event that Cody and the Young Bucks have been able to get this much traction for an event sold out in a 10,000-seat arena in less than 30 minutes? Just your reaction to that.
Well, you know what, and I guess this is the most topical on my brain, but I'll share a conversation. Well, this is the first time I've really shared it. I'll leave some names out of it, but I've talked to some, I'll call it the Hollywood set that I stay connected to. But I was talking to those guys, and they were asking, you know, they wouldn't what you call in-the-know wrestling folks. But you know, just like where's the business at? And I said without hesitation that, you know, with WWE's Fox deal, obviously with their renewal of with their NBC deal, with the Total, with the Divas, Total Bellas, Miz's reality show, just everything going on, and I'll call it just pardon the pun, but in the WWE verness. But then outside of that is, and this is what I was really dialed in which they were very engaged in the conversation. And I gave the stats on the Sears Center and the show and Madison Square Garden. And then, you know, I told him the StarCast numbers and the projected numbers. And when I sort of laid it all out, and I did use, that's in the media advisory, I did use the Woodstock analogy. But you know, and I said, StarCast is an event that not to, you know, this isn't a stretch, but when you have guys like Jerry Lawler and Dutch Mantel, you know, we're talking about guys that, you know, in their wrestling prime, that was in the territory days, which goes back to the 70s. So we're really talking 5 decades in the making without really stretching it. You know, I started my career in 86, so that's the mid 80s. Then you got other guys in the 90s and then the 2000s. So, you know, when you talk about 5 decades, that's a half a century. And so when you talk about where the business is at, you know, no longer do, you know, it's not very, there's not much of a debate anymore. Is wrestling mainstream? When The Rock's the hottest box office attraction in the world, the highest paid action figure in the world, you've got John Cena, who regularly hosts, you know, the Today Show and everything else that goes with that. You've got, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling that has the dome shows. You've got everything that's going on in the United Kingdom with World of Sport and ITV. And I know the Indian market is blowing up. So it's really not much of a debate if wrestling's in the mainstream. But then you know, when you talk about the Comic-Cons of the world and the Wizard Worlds of the world, and you know, for years and years, I got buddies at TriStar Autograph Collections, where they have, you know, Hall of Famers from all sports, you know, going back to the 60s and 70s. Well, here we are now. StarCast is what it is. It is, you know, stars from 5 decades. It's pretty incredible. It's groundbreaking, and it's damn exciting if you're a wrestling fan, because, you know, on Fight, it's not like in the old days where you'd buy pay-per-view and you might get a replay going with it. You purchase this on Fight, you have it in perpetuity, so to speak, in legally. You have the, you know, it's on demand, it's in your library, and that's pretty cool. And you get, you know, there's 40, 50, I think there's going to be end up over 60 hours when it's all said and done, 20, 25, 30 shows. It's really, really such a unique event wrapped around All In.
You know, Jeff, this build-up for All In event has the feeling of a WrestleMania weekend. Suppose it's an event, it's a 4-day event where people from all over the world are going to be coming to see this. When you're talking about this is where the business is right now, could a lot of that be, in terms of this day and age, why it's so successful, why people are so motivated to go see it, is the way just of the day and age we're dealing with nowadays with social media and the distribution of all this? Because maybe 10, 15 years ago, or back in the time when you were starting, to get your product and to be known out there was very difficult. And nowadays, you can post something, for example, on YouTube, and people across the world can see it. And so do you think now it's the right time to do it? Because now, not only is wrestling mainstream, like you said, but it's so more accessible to so many more people. Because now it's, although WWE is the quote-unquote machine, and it's the pillar right there for everybody to see, there's just so many more options for people to see different things in the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah, you said it. You are obviously you're no stranger to this business. But you know, going back generations ago, guys traded magazines, and it would be, you know, sometimes months behind on the news. Then you got, you know, as you move into the VHS tapes and tape trading days, and then the Monday Night Wars, and now here we are, just what you said, the age of instantaneous information. A wrestling fan in Australia knows exactly what happened on Monday Night Raw as it happens, if they so choose. And that's around the world. That's halfway around the world. So the fans are much, much more connected, and I think it's a great thing. And, you know, when I teach my seminars with talent, I tell them, I said, there's a huge fundamental difference. You know, up until X amount of years ago, you had your opportunity to get on TV before social media. You had, you know, whether it was on Raw or Nitro or SmackDown or Impact or whatever it may be. But you had your 8 to 10 minute segment, and that was really your true mass exposure. With social media, and if you learn how to do it right or halfway it right, and you stay consistent with it, and you present a compelling content, you have a chance of extreme exposure. And, you know, that's where, you know, kids today, and when I say kids, I use that term roughly, you could, a 20-something-year-old could be a kid, but, you know, they didn't grow up listening to a specific radio station or watching, oh, my favorite, you know, cable. My kids were Disney kids. That no longer exists. It's YouTube. It's you know, it's streaming services. Just so the age of entertainment and how we consume it, it's all done in our pocket through the iPhone. And that connects us as a wrestling audience. And therefore you have what you just said. This is a you know, this is the non WWE in essence WrestleMania weekend. Because there are, you know, just on the card alone, you have guys that are, you know, that wrestle in multiple promotions. That's sort of history making in a way. You just keep lining it up. And you know, when you have these 20, 25 shows, and gosh, I could go on, but all the different themes that are up there, it's a dream come true for even a short-term wrestling fan or a long-term wrestling fan. And my hat's off to Conrad Thompson and his entire StarCast team. And it's really a cool match when you match up StarCast team and the fight technology and the presentation and the ease and access that you can get to it. It's pretty cool.
You're talking to Jeff Jarrett here, and again, thank you for giving us your time, Jeff. My question to you is, obviously you've partnered up with Conrad and the StarCast team. Obviously, Conrad Thompson has kind of like really done a great job excelling in the podcast world here, especially with the wrestling podcast. He does like 3 podcasts. He's engaged to be married. He runs a mortgage company. What have you learned from Conrad in this partnership between you two? What has that amazed you?
Great question. I talked to him about an hour ago, and I told him, I'm going to defer to you. And he said, I'm the mortgage guy. And I said, yeah. That terminology went out a while back. When you've got 3 weekly podcasts that are in the, you know, they're always, you know, number one, two, five, whatever their stats are. He's no longer the mortgage guy, and I tell him that. But, you know, here's the one thing that I drill down on, and it's something that's not new in my mindset, but it's been the biggest reminder. And, you know, it was taught and passed down through my father and my grandmother, is that, you know, before I became a wrestler, before I became a promoter, and the same for my dad, and my grandmother never wrestled, but, you know, she did basically every facet she possibly could except wrestle in the business. You got to look at something through the eyes of a wrestling fan. And that's easy for me to do if I don't lose sight of it. And Conrad does that. Conrad is a wrestling fan who likes wrestling matches, who likes wrestling personalities, and who likes to talk about wrestling. It's very evident. And so it's a huge reminder as he's put this together. He first, you know, we went up to Chicago and did a production site survey, and we spent the day together going through all kinds of production what-ifs and troubleshooting things and traffic flow and all those kind of things. But it was the thing that, you know, when I headed on the plane and got back home and eating dinner with Karen, that the things that I think about and talk about is that that's first and foremost. It's that connection with your audience and sort of knowing how to relate. Toby Keith told me this the very first night of TNA, and I took it with me as much as I could, and it was a reminder, and it still is to this day. Know your audience and earn them one fan at a time. And that says a lot to me. When you earn them one at a time, that means that you consciously think about a fan's mindset, and if they're going to spend their hard-earned money, you have to make sure that they get – and when I say return on investment, they're not going to get their money back, but they're sure going to enjoy themselves and not regret spending that money.
Definitely, no doubt. We're not regretting our time there.
And Brian, too, like you said, though, if you go to like an Access, right, you know, you're in line, take that picture over the table, see you next. What I noticed with the Young Bucks, Cody, and everyone maybe at these meet and greets is that they'll take the time to at least start a convo. You know, talk about how you're doing. Oh, where did you come from? I think that's also, too, it's being personable with the fan.
It's, again, it goes back to that adage of, you know, can wrestlers do that all the time? Of course not. But when you have a certain setting and you can allow that type of engagement, that's a big thing that you know, that's a buzzword in social media jargon, you know, engagement. But real engagement, and I say that from not through an iPhone or through a mobile device, but real one-on-one engagement is paramount in our business, and always has been, you know, from the height of the Hulkamania days or the Stone Cold Austin and Rock and Mankind, the Attitude, whatever it may be. It's that engagement with the audience that you totally were dialed into what was going on with the product, and there wasn't meaningless stuff, so to speak. You just had a high level of engagement across the board, and I think that's something that StarCast has certainly has their finger on the pulse, and it's a big thing that going back 3 or 4 months ago, when one thing led to another, and Global Force and Fight, who we've had an arm distance relationship, once we got together, and I said, look, StarCast on Fight is something that we really ought to think about, and one thing led to another, and I'm very happy that all parties came together, because I think we are stacked up and lined up to do a historic weekend.
And not only are you happy, Jeff, but I'm sure every professional wrestling fan is happy for this combination, where it feels like nowadays, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but, you know, I clearly wasn't around during the time of the territory days where things were, like, competitive and people were sharing talent. It kind of feels more of an old-school setting, because although we're in the day and age of technology, like we mentioned before, with distribution of content, you look at promotions like Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, you know, Global Force, all these promotions helping each other out now and really sharing talent, which is something that, you know, the current or maybe the millennial fan has never seen before. So it feels like it's going back to the old school ways, where instead of people trying to compete with each other and trying to top one another, they're actually collectively trying to help each other out, which is benefiting the business, because from the talent that we've spoken to, and even the fans, too, they would agree with us when they say, you know, if you're a fan or you're a talent getting into this business, right now is probably the perfect time in terms of what we just spoke about before, in terms of getting your name out there and branding yourself. It could be a better time right now to be around, because there's so many more options to kind of hone your craft.
Well, and that's sort of one side of the coin. You flip it on the other and say, if I am going to make that attempt, you've got to have a passion for it. And you know, if you don't really, really have a passion for the industry, and I'm not talking about the money or the fame, or but that's obviously a part of it. But really loving, that's what I go back to Conrad. He loves it. He loves the business of the business, and he also loves the entertainment aspect and the reason that we, you know, grew up on Saturday mornings or Monday nights or click into YouTube. You love to watch wrestling clips or whatever it may be. And that's sort of that it goes back to either you got to be a passionate fan or someone who's in the business that has a passion for it. That's what ultimately is success.
I mean, let me tell you how busy Jeff is going to be at StarCast. I mean, he's got an eat and greet. Then he's got to make sure he's got the vocals and everything perfect for his Spend My Days karaoke with Bruce Pritchard on a Friday. So he's going to be busy. Not only he's going to do behind-the-scenes stuff, but he's also going to do meet and greets as well. And, of course, I'm looking forward to that Spend My Days karaoke with Bruce. That song has just become like a cult. Like classic,
it's iconic.
You know, everyone yeah. loves that song now. You know, it's like they expect you now whenever like they see you with Bruce, like to sing that and stuff like that. So you're going to be very busy too. And again, we're talking to WWE Hall of Famer Jeff Jarrett. I can't, you know, end this you know, interview without asking you about how does it feel to be back during WrestleMania weekend, you know, with the WWE umbrella, and just how is that feeling to be, you know, back with the WWE, and also was Road Dogg Brian James always your choice to be the person to induct you?
He was never. There was never one ever even considered in my mind, and I'm almost 100% positive WWE felt the same. There was no other. You know, it was a given, I guess, so to speak. I kind of think that the minute that the WWE officials made the decision to put me in. It was basically a side belong. Brian's going to be the inductor, you know, I certainly it's really the other names have floated out there. My dad being one of them, Jerry Lawler being one of them. There's a couple, but you know, In reality, Brian was a unanimous choice in my mind, and I think WWE's as well. And it was an incredible weekend. My family got to go down, wife and kids, and my dad, and Karen's parents, and it was a really Karen's grandfather actually got to come down as well. So it was four generations around, and being a part of it. Kids got to go sightseeing in New Orleans. It was more than just a wrestling trip, and it was great at the Hall of Fame induction and Kid Rock and everything that goes with our class. But also, doing the network shows, the Table for Three, Edge and Christian, and several others. That was all really cool, and just be there and reconnect with a bunch of faces that aren't on camera, as well as the guys that I knew that are on camera. So it was a really, really good weekend. I'm very grateful for the opportunity and got some great memories about that weekend.
And no doubt great memories. You shared some great stories there during the Hall of Fame. Jeff, I'm curious the fact that you had mentioned before in previous interviews that, you accepted the fact that if it wasn't going to happen, then that's fine. You move on with your life and you knew that was never going to be an option in the Hall of Fame. But now that it's happened and as busy as you are, maybe you have or haven't had time to go sit back and reflect on something like that. But besides the Hall of Fame, have you felt yourself personally, you've left an impact in this business? Because we feel you have. Do you feel like you left an impact in the business?
I went over to the United Kingdom in July and did 4 spoken word tours, London, Sheffield, Edinburgh, and Cardiff. And that was all essentially launched from the Hall of Fame weekend. And ever since Hall of Fame weekend, it's not in my nature to look in the rearview mirror, but the spoken word tour specifically, I talked about my career and everything that went with it. The recent article that ESPN just did about Joe and AJ's match leading up to it on Sunday night and that kind of stuff. I went to Mexico in early June, and I've had a longstanding relationship with those guys. I'm the first 2-time foreign wrestler, the longest reigning. I always get this stat wrong. The longest reigning foreign wrestler to hold the mega championship, which is a pretty cool stat. So, I've never looked at stats, never looked in the rearview mirror, always look forward. But it's been fun to reflect. I don't ever like to give those opinions and the question you're asking me. I'll leave that up to you guys. that's your job, not my job. But I certainly feel very, very humbled and super grateful that all those many years ago, my grandmother decided to take that second job selling wrestling tickets, because it truly changed the course and the trajectory of the entire Jarrett family. And I'm super happy for it, because it's obviously my life's work. And 32 years in, and coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend, I'm going to do a first as far as All In and StarCast and everything that goes with it. And I get to be, a part of it with Global Force and executive producing the fight side of things. I'm pretty amazed and I'm super happy.
And we're happy as well, Jeff. And, I'll answer the question for you. Yes, we feel like you have made an impact in this business and made it better, which is ultimately what you want to do is when you've had a career like yours. Last one, final one for me. It wouldn't be fair for me not to say this. And, in this business, everybody always talks about never say never, right? And I'm sure your times in the wrestling ring are well behind you in terms that, there's so much more you can do. But if you're in actually wanting to be part of All In, because I'm sure maybe 10 years ago you'd love to be part of this card, would you die and kill for an opportunity like this to be an All In, and who would you like to face?
I'll tell you what, the card, the uniqueness of it, and I'll go back to what you said. I was in my career maybe 2 or 3 years, and we did Super Clash 3 in Chicago, ironically in Chicago, but the AWA promotion, the USWA, my family's promotion, and then WCCW, the Von Erichs promotion. We all 3 came together to do a super show. And I can remember the vibe in the dressing room, the uniqueness in the dressing room. Just sort of, it has a different aura from other shows, whether they're the, TNA pay-per-views, the biggest ones we did, the Slammiversaries, so to speak, the WrestleManias, the Halloween Havocs, all the different big events I've been a part of, the Tokyo Dome a couple years ago. When you have an event like All In, yes, it's a different vibe, of course. And to put the cherry on top, I've got a long history with the NWA title. It was a big part of the early days of TNA, and so it's well documented what I feel personally about that title and the lineage that it has. And for that to be sort of the granddaddy, and if you really want to get right down to it, it's Cody versus Nick. That's the main event. That match is what All In is somewhat, it is what it's, you know, centered around. It's really, really amazing. I'm just glad I get to be up there for the weekend.
I mean, it's just amazing how Billy Corgan, what he's done with the NWA, and how he's, you know, Nick Aldis, a great representative of kind of like that old school of what the NWA, you know, was, and bringing it now with Cody, of course, who he can say that it's not about anything with his dad, but if you're a fan, you know that, you know, that somewhere he's got to be thinking about Dusty and what it means to the family, too. So, obviously, it's just great to see the NWA title be, you know, highlighted at All In on this pay-per-view. Jeff, we want to thank you so much for your time. Again, of course, All In is, we're in the home stretch Labor Day weekend. And of course we will be on Podcast Row, and Jeff, we hope to see you there. And we want to thank you for giving us your time.
Looking forward to it, guys. I'll see you in Chicago. I'll sit down and chat a little bit if I have time, but again, thanks for having me on, and cannot wait. Got some cool stuff coming up in the next couple of days as it relates, and you can follow all that on, you know, at Real Jeff Jarrett. If I don't tweet it, I'll retweet it about Fight and GFW, StarCast, all the different Twitter handles. But, yeah, stay tuned, and I can't wait to get to Chicago.
All right, thank you. That's WWE Hall of Famer Jeff Jarrett. All right, our thanks goes out to Jeff Jarrett, of course, WWE Hall of Famer. I didn't get to ask him about the jacket. That jacket was an amazing jacket, man. The way you just would, and it would just change different colors between that white and the black, man. That is an amazing jacket. Didn't get a chance to compliment it, but man, he's busy, man.
He is busy, man. He has a million things to do, and yeah, it was great to talk to him. I know you wanted to ask him about the jacket. I wanted to ask him a few questions too, but again, when your time is limited and you're as busy, man, like Jeff Jarrett, you're just thankful he gave us the time of day to speak to him for a few minutes. Who knows? Maybe we'll catch him down in Chicago. We'll have him on for a few more minutes here. You can ask him that question about the jacket, but again, it's like, in hindsight, it's 2020, as I always use the expressions, like, at the end, you're like, oh, I should have asked this, I should have done that. But ultimately, great stuff by Jeff Jarrett. And it just kind of, he kind of just kind of emphasized what we've been talking about ever since the build-up, Jeff, towards All In. It's just an historic event, especially, you know, when you add in Boardwalk Beatdown, too. This is an historic 2 weeks left in the summer of professional wrestling. I mean, a lot of people feel like the summer ends after SummerSlam. Okay, cool way to end the summer. Now we have 2 more weeks of great professional wrestling that we're going to see. And Chicago, Illinois is going to be the final end towards Labor Day weekend, so he sees it, he recognizes it, 32 years in the business, and has never seen something like this, or can kind of compare it to what he was, what it was like for him during the time that he was as an in-ring performer. So it's just amazing. It comes full circle. And to talk to Jeff Jarrett, man, what an honor.
Yeah, definitely great to talk to him. And again, if we do see him at Podcast Row, we'll definitely try to get a few minutes of his time. But again, though, I mean, All In is going to be very historic, and we're in the home stretch, man. We are almost there. Next week we will be in Chicago. Right now we are on that road to Atlantic City. We'll be there for tonight's Dinner with the Stars, and then of course tomorrow we've got the huge Boardwalk Beatdown event, which Joey Janela will be at our table. Of course, Matt Riddle signed with WWE. We'll get to that about TakeOver as well. But you know, not bad having Joey Janela and Penelope Ford at our table.
If that's a consolation prize, that's an awesome consolation prize. But again, you know, so excited for Matt Riddle. It would have been nice if it was maybe a week later. But at the same time, it's exciting for him. Great acquisition by WWE. And then having Joey Janela at our table as well is going to be amazing. You know, he has such a huge fan base. The audience loves him, what he does.
I'm just a teenage dirtbag, babe. See, I got that song in my head all weekend because of Game Changer Wrestling and matchup against Hakushi, the modern-day kamikaze to WWE fans. And, of course, Weedus was performing Teenage Dirtbag. I'm sure you guys know the song. Maybe I've just dated my age or so. But
I think you've just dated your age, basically, in a way.
But, again, a lot of people say that was the talk of the whole weekend for SummerSlam. That Game Changer Wrestling, Joey Janela lost to New York from the Melrose Ballroom. A lot of great stuff there where, you know, even though Joey Janela came up short, and as well as Matt Riddle came up short against PCO in his final match before heading to NXT, a lot of people gave that rave reviews. And, you know, Joey Janela is a promoter. He's also, you know, a wrestler first and foremost, and he now will take on Hangman Page at All In, but also you know, tomorrow night will take on, you know, very talented guys from Standalone Wrestling. Brandon Kirk, Casey Navarro, himself, and a mystery opponent.
Well, let me ask you this, Jeff. I mean, and let's be honest here. We've been very fortunate to have, for 4 years straight, you know, SummerSlam, NXT, WWE around the New York metropolitan area, and especially in Brooklyn, New York, at the Barclays Center, right? It's been exciting, especially the last 2 years. But I got to be honest, with, you know, with certain promotions that hang around during WrestleMania weekend and they promote themselves, and sometimes those shows are really good, and unfortunately, we just wish there were enough hours in the day so we can go to all of them.
I wish we could multiply ourselves.
Yeah, clones of ourselves. My God, that would be so much easier, right, in terms of getting stuff done. It's difficult when it's just the two of us. But that being said, how would you rate the promotion or the build-up towards this weekend? Now, granted, NXT TakeOver was great. It's always great, especially in the Barclays Center. SummerSlam was what it was, and we'll dive more into that as well. Was the build-up and the end result of this more exciting as opposed to when you see Joey Janela's Lost in New York event, and people had huge reviews about that too? Is the build-up enough where you feel like they need to kind of leave the metropolitan area? Have they lost momentum, or is the momentum the same for WWE?
If you look at this weekend, I think the craving for wrestling was there. I think that, you know, a lot of sold out. Actually, congratulations to Ciampa, because that was the largest grossing NXT TakeOver Brooklyn in its history. So Ciampa made sure to go on social media and, you know, thank himself for that.
Yeah,
so, you know, so TakeOver did well. It looks like SummerSlam was sold out as well. And, of course, you couldn't get a ticket for Joey Janela's event. That thing was sold out really fast, too. So I think what it shows you is the appetite for wrestling is greater than it's ever been.
But for you, is the hype there, though?
I remember last year
walking through the city, man, and everybody was wearing Bull Club t-shirts. Everybody was wearing wrestling memorabilia.
I just think because we weren't there. You know, we didn't travel to Brooklyn. We didn't see it, but it was there.
No, yeah. We weren't in Brooklyn, but even during in the area in Times Square and in Manhattan, Midtown Manhattan, where, you know, we're always around, I didn't see a lot of wrestling fans in that area.
Maybe you didn't see it. I didn't see it. You know why? Because I just think this year, since we have got Boardwalk Beatdown and All In, I think that this week, you know, me working and me not being, you know, really paying attention to that. So I remember last year, I remember seeing the fans in New York, whatever, in Times Square, you know, talking about SummerSlam. It's just, I don't think we were focused that much this time because we were going to be there.
Okay.
But I do think the TakeOver hype, I think TakeOver is hyped because of its matches, because Ricochet and Adam Cole delivered. I think Shayna Baszler and Kairi Sane delivered. All the matches freaking delivered. What am I talking about here?
Yeah.
And also that great match between Ciampa and Gargano, which, of course, you know, Ciampa retains the championship. Gargano again. I don't know if it's kayfabe or if it's a real, but a dislocated knee. Couldn't stand up to the 10 count, and Gargano was able to, you know, make it to his feet, you know, split second. And if you were going to say about TakeOver before we get to SummerSlam, just your thoughts of the whole thing in general, what stood out to you? Because if you go match by match, it's already dated, but what stood out to you?
What stood out to me is what stands out to me, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised, Jeff, when we look at TakeOvers in general, that the talent steps up, they set the bar for whatever the event is, whether it be WrestleMania, whether it be now Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, you know, and in this case, SummerSlam. They set the bar so high, because I think it's the anticipation. Everybody's excited for the weekend. So when they get that first taste of wrestling, the crowd's just beyond excited for it. I think all the matches delivered, I really feel. I don't think there was a snooze fest in any single one of them, whether it be for the North American Championship, whether it be for the tag team titles, whether it be for the NXT Women's Championship and NXT Championship itself. All of them delivered on their hype. And what I loved more about anything is when I look at NXT compared to, like, when I'm looking at the WWE main roster product for SummerSlam, the storylines themselves, granted, they have more time to build these storylines. Granted, they have more time to build these matches because they're at the Performance Center. They have an idea of what they want to do. I get it. But at the same time, you can have all that time in the world and it could still be a flop. And SummerSlam, I feel, was kind of the opposite of that. So what I take away from NXT is another home run. It really is. And it kind of showcases the fact that guys like Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, in the world of NXT, they're superstars. Can they be given that same trust? Can they be given that same ability to run with it on the main roster? I don't know. And that's what kind of I've taken away from these NXT takeovers, Jeff, as we've seen it, especially during WrestleMania weekend when they've been called up and we're like, oh my God, I can't wait this guy gets called up. They're going to be a star. She's going to be unbelievable. And then the opposite happens.
I just think NXT should be a separate entity. And I think that if you sign with NXT, fine, maybe you graduate after a certain amount of couple years. I just don't think there should be call-ups just for that.
But then that would be an insult to
having call-ups.
Yeah,
but isn't really an insult when they give up that? See, I don't.
No, you just said when they graduate, so that indicates that NXT is lesser than it. And that's another thing too. When they say it's not a developmental brand, because let's be honest, Jeff, that roster that's on NXT right now, they're not developmental superstars. They're not guys that need to be taught anything. Maybe
more independent wrestlers.
Some of the basics, yeah. But these guys, these women and men are in their prime. Of their careers. And so they just need to learn the TV aspect or certain things of the WWE style to get to that next level. But at the same time, if they're going to be their own entity, then, yeah, maybe we should have a superstar shakeup and NXT should be its own separate entity. But I don't think it'll ever reach that point because at the same time, if you do that, you take a little bit away of what NXT really is. If you make it a 2 or 3 hour show, now you're putting the pressure on the fact that everything works well with a 1 hour basis show. And now you're extending it 2-3 hours. Are you going to be exposing yourself?
Well, I never said about extending it.
No. I'm not saying you said that.
Just because
it's
an entity, you can still keep it an hour.
Okay.
You know, but maybe Fox, maybe they want to make it 2 hours. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. Like I said, I got to write an article about this. I think 2019 is going to be so freaking important in this industry. There's so much. You think 2018 was historic? Trendsetter, 2019 is going to be totally amazing, man, and especially with what happens with the Fox deal and, of course, with what happens with a lot of free agents, of course. Kenny Omega will be available. The Young Bucks will be available. I'm not sure what Cody's contract is, but he might be available. So there's a lot of stuff. Chris Jericho, who is a free agent, on Twitter went out and said 2019 is going to be an interesting year. You've got the Jericho's coming up in October. You know, all signs may point to him maybe making an impact one day for Impact Wrestling, or maybe being on that show in New York City for New Japan and Ring of Honor, the G1 Supercard. So much stuff, man. 2019 is going to be exciting. So what I liked about NXT TakeOver, I love the Adam Cole Ricochet match. I had a chance to look back at it again. Man, they really put it on the line. Ricochet is a beast. Adam Cole in his own is a very talented wrestler. You've got two guys here that could be on that roster any day. And I think what I meant, though, Trendsetter, when I said about how it graduate, I was wrong. It's not graduate if it's going to be its own entity. And I just get the feeling that that call-up, like Velveteen Dream put that, you know, on his back, on his tight, saying, call me Vince, or call me up Vince. I just don't think there should be that rush because I think, yes, they're going to make a little bit more up on the main roster. But to me, NXT is the brand, man. They just prove it night in and night out, and especially on these takeovers, that they always steal the show.
And I was long-winded. I didn't really answer the question like I always do, right? No. And I'll answer the question here. What I took away from all of this, despite Ricochet, despite the Women's Championship, despite the amazing main event, the guy, the Velveteen Dream, Patrick Clark, my goodness, he is, without a question in my mind now, he is a superstar. He knows how to play the crowd. He knows, he owns, whatever you want to call it, a gimmick or character, whatever, he owns it. And he goes out there, and when you see him in the ring, despite the fact of what you might think of his performance, but you know, he's had great performances that everybody's been in the ring with. He reeks superstar. He reeks superstar. Even Jim Ross has mentioned that.
Agreed.
In terms of his history, his knowledge of the business, and more importantly, and something you can't fake, Jeff, is passion. And you can definitely tell he has passion for what he does, and he loves what he does too. So that's my biggest takeaway, that, you know, a guy like the Velveteen Dream, let's see what happens for the end of this year, and maybe in towards 2019, if he's still on NXT. I think he has worked himself into the fact that he should be now considered to be on that main event level in NXT and possibly going for a championship.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You said it all right there, too. I mean, NXT, again, amazing from top to bottom, too. Even the tag team match was amazing. What a way to start out the night with Mustache Mountain and the Undisputed Era. And, of course, you know,
And that's tag team wrestling done right. In a sense, in my opinion at least, of how tag team wrestling should be.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, again, top to bottom, it was amazing. Just so much wrestling, man. It's crazy. SummerSlam. We got into Roman Reigns and Brock. And, of course, the other big news, too, as well, was that Ronda Rousey is now the new Raw Women's Champion, defeating Alexa Bliss, squashing Alexa Bliss. I guess what I'm going to tell you, Trendsetter, is too much too soon?
Well, yeah. I mean, ultimately, my initial instinct reaction, that's it. Like, really? All this? But you and I have spoken about this before, Jeff. We don't know in the terms of what her contract is. It's a year. How many dates she has? How many houses? So if you're
she's box office, though.
She is box office. And I never took that away from you. I agree with you 100% too. So if you're using it from that perspective, I get it. But also I understand it too if you don't know how long she wants to be in the WWE for. So if she's going to be like a one-year thing because, you know, she's talked about in the past how she wants to start a family of her own and kind of, you know, step away. So if this is a way of platforming, using Ronda Rousey and people might take this the wrong way, as a stepping stone in the sense, because they're talking about this whole women's evolution pay-per-view that's going to happen in October. And, you know, they're building it up. So they're using Ronda Rousey as that impact, as that way of a crossover appeal, much like she was in the UFC. She was the first of her kind, you know, in terms of a woman to bring women's mixed martial arts to the UFC and put eyes on it. Now they're using Ronda Rousey in the same sense of bringing eyes now, more focus on the women's division and making it more legitimate, I guess. So too much too soon? I would say yes. But for the reasons in terms of business standpoint, this is what they set it up for. This is what they wanted to do. Now people will be complaining, oh, look how many matches she's had and now she's champion. Oh, she can't do a 60-minute Ironman match or a 30-minute Ironman women match. She's not this and that. But at the end of the day, people will pay to see her. As much as they hate to admit it, Ronda Rousey, like you said, Jeff, is box office appeal. And ultimately, that's what you want. You want more eyes drawn on your product. And right now, Ronda Rousey, no offense to Charlotte Flair, but she is the face of the women's division.
Totally. And when you talk about the face of the SmackDown women's division, it is Charlotte. And I give props to Becky Lynch because she got that crowd. She is so over. The crowd is behind her. Again, she's the kind of person, the bridesmaid, never the bride, always coming up short. And then Charlotte kind of, you know, not snuck her way in, but kind of like, you know, it was Becky's match against Carmella. And then Charlotte came in and kind of made it a triple threat and kind of lessened her chances, her percentages of becoming the champion. And then, you know what? Becky just had enough and just, you know, romped Charlotte. Turn her back, and then the next night of the live event, attacked her, in the ring, and now they had to be pulled apart here on SmackDown Live. So obviously there is a lot of resentment now on the part of Becky Lynch, but yet the fans are behind her because, you know what, obviously we can, you know, feel, we can sympathize with that because it must have happened in our lives once or twice. So, you know, even though Charlotte is the face, is she really the face in this, you know, upcoming feud with Becky Lynch?
Well, there's no doubt that you understand the frustration that Becky Lynch has. So that's what makes it more appealing from the fan standpoint. They've been rooting for her. They've wanted her to get an opportunity because she is the first ever SmackDown Women's Champion.
Yeah.
And really, rightfully, never had an opportunity to kind of, you know, she's had opportunities to become champion again, but again, felt like she's been overlooked and overcast, especially now that her best friend Charlotte was there. Like you said, worked her way into the main event match for the SmackDown Women's Championship and kind of feels a little vindicated in terms of, you know what, you cost me an opportunity, so now I'm going to take away from you because it's been so easy for you. A comment that was made during the exclusive was that, you know, Becky Lynch looks at Charlotte as that her lineage helps her get those opportunities as opposed to Becky has to fight for her. So yeah, you understand that dynamic.
It's a good dynamic, man, too. Yeah. So I'm
excited for Becky because, you know, this is going to bring her... It's about time. It's going to bring her into light. We're going to see her from a different side again because we haven't seen her heel since her time at NXT. She's always been a babyface. She said she's always wanted to experiment as a heel. And it's a different dynamic, especially working with Charlotte. It's only going to boost her elevation and hopefully maybe a title run.
Yeah, and I say heel in the quotation marks because the fans are rooting for her. So, you know, maybe she's heel in maybe the creative's eyes, but the fans are pulling for her against Charlotte because Charlotte's had too much.
Yeah.
But there's a good question, though. Has Roman Reigns kind of maybe been forced down our throats? We kind of have that feeling. Has Charlotte been? Is Charlotte becoming kind of like the Roman Reigns? Your thoughts?
I wouldn't say that. You know why? Because
we kind of like Charlotte. And
well, the thing is, we kind of like Charlotte and we don't like Roman Reigns. But I think the difference is theoretically this. You know, with Roman Reigns, we talk about the men. There are so many other guys we can think of that can take that place that Roman Reigns is in right now. We can name a handful of them. We're not going to do it now for the sake of time. But for the women's division, it's kind of up in the air. I mean, wow. Charlotte has proven herself. She's put the work in, much like Roman Reigns has, in his own way. But ultimately, when you look at that women's roster, whether it be SmackDown, Jeff, or Raw, it's kind of hard to say, oh, this person should be running the mantle. They gave a chance to Sasha. It didn't work itself out. Bayley was never a question that she was going to get it. You thought Asuka was going to be it? No. Nia Jax, that experiment kind of came and went. Alexa Bliss is sense of that too, but sometimes you can get kind of boring stale because she's always the champion. I get it. So who else is out there? Becky Lynch maybe? So it's hard to determine. I can understand people saying, oh, you're shoving Charlotte Flair down our throats.
I just think they gave her the title because she's that good. I just think that's what
yeah,
it is.
She's that good, and who else is going to be able to take it from her?
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but you know, you maybe kind of want to get invested in the chase, but You know, obviously, there's a difference because I think Charlotte, there are more people that root for Charlotte than there are people that are kind of on the Roman Reigns bandwagon, too. And I love Becky Lynch's reactions. She sells with her face. I loved her when she got angry. I just love that face that she made. So, Becky Lynch, I'm all for this new attitude change, and I think it's, you know, much needed, too. So,
long time coming.
Another thing why we get emotionally invested in is because things can get personal. Just like Becky Lynch and Charlotte, the Samoa Joe and AJ Styles thing, it's personal. It got personal, and it got really personal at SummerSlam when Samoa Joe said what he said to Wendy Styles, all that, you know, I'll be your daddy, and I'll come home to you tonight. And it gets personal, and, you know, towards the end of the match, it really became a really good match. And again, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, I think, delivered. Was it better than we thought? Maybe towards the end, but I really think that matchup, again, we can relate to it, and that's what it makes it better than it was.
Yeah, I think if we're dissecting Jeff move for move, then probably not. We've seen better matches between Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, but in terms of storyline, it fit within the mold of the storyline, within the psychology of how they wanted the match to be presented. Now, I myself personally, I understand the sense of making this more personal, bringing that element into it, giving another dynamic to the storyline, as opposed that, you know, you think Samoa Joe and AJ Styles sells itself. You don't need a storyline implemented here. But I get it. Sometimes I shake my head because to me it doesn't make much sense of why Samoa Joe is really going after AJ Styles' family. But ultimately it gives you that dynamic of AJ really taking it personally. And you saw a different side of AJ Styles. He was cut open. He was bleeding. His wife was like, what are you doing? His daughter was kind of scared the fact that daddy was bleeding. Oh, she's adorable. God damn it,
AJ
Styles.
If I ever
had
a girl, I would forget it. I'd melt. I would be
She'd have you wrapped around her little finger, of course. But and you see that side of it. So I think it's going to a different way. Kind of like we agreed before, AJ retained. Well, actually, Samoa Joe won, but AJ still retained.
Yeah, Samoa Joe won by DQ.
And I think it's building up for the fact that transition will happen where AJ will drop the title Samoa Joe. But it's just a matter of when it's going to happen.
And it's so personal that it might have to be contested in a hell in a cell. So you never know.
You never know. Exactly.
How was that, Vince? Was it?
That's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's not Bruce
didn't
Pritchard.
Didn't move the needle for you, did it?
It's not Bruce Pritchard.
I can't. Well, white pal.
Yeah. Not a lot of people can do that.
Pal.
Exactly.
But, and then, of course, you know, Seth Rollins, you know, of course, joined the Shield, won the Intercontinental title on that in that matchup against Dolph Ziggler.
He didn't join the Shield. He just reunited
with
the
Shield. Reunited with the Shield. So they got all together, and, of course, he's now the new Intercontinental champion. But the only other match here, when I look back at this, is Daniel Bryan and The Miz. I guess this kind of sets up their feud to, you know, like we said before, either there's going to be a mixed tag because we're bringing in the wives into it. You know, let's bring in the wives, let's bring Maryse and Brie Bella into it.
Well, you're 100% right on that. It is going to involve the wives because at Hell in a Cell, it's going to be Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella against The Miz and Maryse in Hell in, not in Hell in a Cell, but at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. So it's actually going to happen. You're right about that. But for me, a lot of people have been writing the fact that this can kind of maybe give the indication that if Daniel Bryan won and this is all said and done, this rivalry and this history is done, now that it looks like it's going to continue, maybe it's more of a likelihood he's going to resign. He's going to stay a little bit longer.
I think it's about dates, and I think it's about just being with family because I don't think he's ever had that full intention to leave, especially now that, you know, he can make the money. His wife is on Total Bellas. And, you know, Total Divas, too. So, I mean, it just makes more sense for him to stay. If he wants to fight for dates, too, because he wants to be with the family. And eventually that's what it's all about. And if WWE and him can come to an agreement on that, I think he'll sign eventually.
I think they should, too.
It's a foregone conclusion, I think.
He's the most over superstar right now they have on SmackDown roster besides AJ Styles. And secondly, if you want to prolong his career, maybe you don't want him to work every house show.
Can this feud extend into WrestleMania?
I think so.
Because you're not getting that rematch right away. Of course, Miz saying that he retired from facing Daniel Bryan in singles competition. So can this match get extended into WrestleMania?
I think it can. Will it happen? I don't know, because a lot can happen from here. I mean, Miz has gone on countless times saying, let Daniel Bryan prove to me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure the Miz wants to see himself now in the title picture, not the U.S. title specifically, but he wants to now feels he's progressed himself. He's gotten himself so over now where he should not be considered for a WWE championship run again, a second one, because he desperately wants it. He's definitely shown his enthusiasm to want to get an opportunity and run with it. So, I could see it extend, but I don't think it's going to, though.
Right now, I'm not trying to book or anything like that, but I could see this matchup leading into WrestleMania if they do it right. And if that's what we want to see. We eventually want to see Daniel Bryan get that, you know, that last laugh on The Miz. So we'll see what happens there. But, man, an amazing weekend, SummerSlam weekend. I mean, there's always wrestling to talk about, of course. And, of course, we will be in Atlantic City tonight for Dinner with the Stars. We're going to get you your interviews from that amazing Dinner with the Stars. You're going to have people like Melissa Santos there, James Ellsworth, Brian Cage, and so many more. Of course, we will be there. The High Spot Podcast will get you the interviews you want. And, of course, you can check on our YouTube channel and, of course, on our website at highspotpodcast.com. You can follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. So Dinner with the Stars is tonight. Tomorrow is Boardwalk Beatdown, that convention. Of course, Joey Janela will be at our table, so not a bad consolation prize when you can get Joey Janela, who had an amazing weekend. Game changer wrestler. Joey Janela lost in New York, was a huge success, and I'm sure the one on the 21st will be, again, another success for Joey Janela. So looking forward to that. And of course, at that night, we will have Standalone Wrestling Presents Breakout, where Joey Janela will be involved in a four-way match for that light heavyweight championship tournament, and it will be Casey Navarro, Brandon Kirk, Joey Janela, and a mystery opponent. So much wrestling there. You'll get Joe Gacy will be there. You're going to have so much talent there. It's going to be an amazing night of wrestling. And, of course, their after party will be that night. So, man, it is just a huge weekend, historic weekend. And, of course, we're in the home stretch of All In. All In, again, is next week, Labor Day weekend. Yes, the Jersey Wrecking Crew will be in Chicago, Trent Center, man. So, I need a drink of water of all the stuff that we're going to be doing.
I need a drink of water. I need a blood transfusion. I need help. I basically need to, because it's going to be amazing now to get through it. It's like, it's an early WrestleMania weekend for us, because that's the way the atmosphere is going to be like in Atlantic City. I mean, there's no doubt it's going to be like that in Chicago, Illinois as well. So definitely looking forward to that, Jeff. Historic is the word I think we're going to be using. Hashtag that word historic, because it is going to be a very memorable event, not only for the fans, the crew, the Jersey Wrecking Crew as well, but basically if you're a part of it in some fashion, some way, I got a feeling this is going to be the last time we'll see something like this happen, but you always want to be part of the first time. So definitely be excited for the High Spot Podcast to be a part of it.
Nothing beats the first time, Trent Center. And of course, too.
Some might disagree with that.
You can follow us on our YouTube channel as well. We have amazing interviews on there. And also, you can catch Adventures with the Trent Center on that YouTube channel. 800 plus subscribers. We want to thank you, the fans, for liking the stuff. We also have a promo there of our trip to All In. So definitely, you know, support the Jersey Wrecking Crew. We want to give you the best content possible. And also, you can find all our episodes, Trendsetter. Where can you find all our awesome episodes?
You can find all our awesome episodes. You can check them out on Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star rate and review. It only takes a few minutes, guys. And check us out on SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podbean, especially where all your audio outlets can be found.
And we want to thank Jeff Jarrett once again for being our guest this weekend. Guys, here's a great opportunity. How can you be all in at the very last minute? Well, StarCast on Fight has a weekend pass. Now, all you have to do is subscribe to that before August 27th, and we are near the final countdown for this awesome, awesome giveaway. All you have to do, again, is, you know, sign up for that Fight pass. You get up to 60 hours, I think Jeff Jarrett was talking about, of wrestling content. But if you are selected, check this out, Trendsetter, not only will you be flown to All In, you will have a 3-day hotel stay and a suite, 2 platinum bracelets to All In, and all their festivities and the activities. So it is going to be awesome. And all you have to do is go to fight.tv/StarCast, sign up for the weekend pass, and you're eligible to be selected for this amazing weekend pass. But you must, you know, sign up by August the 27th for you to be able to enter this amazing thing. Just imagine that, winning 2 front-row tickets to All In, going to do all those 2 eat and greets every single day of the weekend.
That's a lot of food.
That's a lot of food and a lot of guests, too. So to do all that stuff just by entering and doing the Fight Pass, you do not want to miss All In. And, of course, we will be a podcast show sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings on Saturday, September 1st, the day of All In. So it's going to be amazing, Trendsetter. What more can I say, man? What more can I say?
Can't say anything more than that.
Oh, you know what I can say, Trendsetter, is that the High Spot Podcast is on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. It is Brian Fritz's baby. You can listen to the flagship show, Between the Ropes, every Wednesday. You got great episodes there, as well as great shows, The Cosmic Geppetto, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Can't wait to see Stu. Me and him kind of had the same birthdays in the same week, so happy birthday there to our buddy Stu. I'll get you a beer at Chicago. Stick to the Gimmick, talking about NXT, and of course, glad to be part of the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Networks with such amazing podcasts like Kickin' Ass Podcast with Jesse and Andy, A Shot of Wrestling, and Outsider's Edge with Mark Adam Haggerty, which is on the B-Plus Player Radio Network. And, of course, Trendsetter, glad to be part of BodySlams.net. We will get you information on that next week as we go into a new venture here, a new partnership. So looking forward to that, Trendsetter. Man!
Just more ways for you guys to listen
and
to
more
us.
More work for you.
More work for me, exactly, too. So for my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I am the trendsetter, Brian Berger, wishing you guys a lovely weekend. Enjoy it. We're going to be in Atlantic City, so come join us for Boardwalk Beatdown. The next week, we'll be in Chicago, Illinois. So, guys, enjoy it with us because we do this for one reason and one reason only, Jeff. We do this for you, the crew.
Spend my days working hard on the go, and the hands on the clock keep spinning too slow. Cause I can't wait to be alone with my baby tonight.
Honey, why don't we go to your mother's this weekend?
You want a trip to my mum's?
Yeah, it'd be cool.
But it's so far away.
Sure, but that's cool.
The roads are littered with potholes, remember?
Perfect.
Anyway, why are you so keen to see my mum?
See her? No thanks. We'll just go there and back.
Featuring suspension with progressive hydraulic cushions and 12 driving aids. New Citroën C4 Cactus Hatch makes every journey a joy. With Citroën, comfort is the new cool. Available now with 0% APR over 4 years. T's and C's apply. Conditional sale subject to status 18 plus. PSA Finance UK Limited, Citroën UK Limited are acting as a credit broker and not a lender. Citroën.